6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this Hump Day Wednesday. Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your day. Jumpstart your day knowing your team's going to the postseason.
Hell yeah.
Hey, did you check out the Vegas Aces game last night? Any of it?
I didn't. Honestly, I did not get to see any of it because it was a late game.
And knowing that most of our listening audience doesn't care, I'll just say this to you. They're starting to get it together.
Yeah.
They're starting to look like the Vegas Aces.
And then the New York Liberty came out in the first quarter last night and just said, Atlanta, you want a 12-point lead? That's cool. We're just going to...
That's cute.
We'll take it back in the second half and run roughshod over you. But, for people that don't like women's basketball or at least haven't given it a chance...
And I get it.
It's a cool. More exciting brand than you're used to now. Than you were used to if you were watching any of it. So I do think in the next couple of years they're going to start bringing in money. Where you know, like, because we've talked about that.
NBA losing. Doesn't have to fund them anymore.
I mean, that's kind of how it's gone.
I'm glad you said that. It is a different game. So if anybody say, "Well, it's always been good," I've been coaching women's ball now for 20 something years, and the game has evolved.
Yeah,
it's not the same that it was back in 2003 The game has evolved big time.
Just from what I've seen from a basketball standpoint, the dribbling's gotten better. The shooting's gotten way better. And like it's something where you look at the women, and I've always thought that from a fundamental standpoint, they were always better than the men because a lot of times athleticism's just going to take over when you get to that point. But the passing, the dribbling, the spacing, all those things, and now you have exciting players you like, and I hate saying this, but players you don't for whatever reason.
Baseball, Tarek Skubal. Are the Tigers going to have to lock this guy up in the offseason? Because if not, people are going to keep knocking on their doors.
You know they have the worst hitting lineup in baseball, right?
Yes.
And they're doing this.
Yes.
So it kind of tells you, like, timely hitting, right? Mm-hmm. And great pitching. So I think you have to go out of your way and pay this guy. Give him some of that little Caesars money. Pizza. Come on, man. It's all hot and ready. He's hot and ready. He's ready to roll.
He's a free agent in 2027. He's going to win the Cy Young Award this year. He has the American League ERA lead. He has the American League wins lead, strikeout lead, all those things. And he's probably going to, he'll have one more start, so he won't get 200 innings. He's at 192 now.
You know what sucks is for them to try to get in, depending on what happens this week, they're going to have to pitch him on Sunday to possibly get in, and it doesn't, their rotation gets messed up because he's clearly the guy.
Oh, damn. Well, I mean, when he comes to Baltimore, he won't be able to pitch.
I'm just saying from their standpoint. It's not woe is me.
Man, I know you weren't saying that. I'm throwing that in there on my own.
Into the playoffs. And this is why it was Skubal. People were interested because they were going nowhere at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a good chance they're going to be in the postseason. So they have to view this differently.
Did you guys get to watch him pitch at all yesterday? Because when I finally got home, I watched a lot of that game. Skubal was lights out. He was great again. And it's funny because the announcers were like, man, this Tiger team's so amazing. And they traded their best pitcher to the Dodgers. And I went, the guy on the mound's going to win the Cy Young. The guy with the Dodgers, he ain't winning anything. So,
you know, they have 8 straight wins of no more than 2 runs. 1-0, 4-2, 7-6, 3-1, 4-2, 6-4, 4-3, last night 2-1. In the last 8 wins, they have not beaten their opponents by more than 2 runs.
Mm.
That goes back to what you said. Their hitting is not very good.
You know what they need?
What's that?
Nobody's going to want to hear me say it. They need a Santander. They need a switch hitting power hitter in the middle of that lineup to really help. I'm not saying I'm saying someone like him.
Not a lot of those to go around.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's going to be a free agent, and we haven't heard if the Orioles are going
to
pay him.
To Ed's point,
everyone needs
you can start looking around the league. Santander's going to get paid, folks.
Well, Detroit's?
What team does not need a Santander? The Dodgers?
Yeah,
don't need a Santander.
I mean, everybody
Phillies
does.
Don't need a Santander.
Yankees might need one real quick.
No, what I mean by that, I'm not saying no one could use them.
Okay,
it's a difference between can use. All 30 teams can use them, but how many teams need them? There are about 20 teams in baseball that need a Santander. The Twins need a Santander. You know, all these guys do. The Brewers need one.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason. He's going to get paid, man.
Well, it's like...
Back up the Brinks truck.
I know we're going to get into this and just talk about what's going on with the Orioles, but like people were bitching about Adley being moved up to the 2-hole again last night. But again, having back-to-back switch hitters helps you out in the lineup.
Tremendously.
You know, like, you can stack it with lefties at the top when you're facing a righty. And Gunner's, look, he's it doesn't matter which hand you're throwing with. He's going to bat lead off, and he should be fine. But when you have a chance to flip the lineup either way with those two guys, I just think it's such a great advantage to have. And I understand people complaining because Adley hasn't been hitting, but at some point he's got to get it going.
He'll get going. Just let it breathe, guys. Let it breathe. Let it breathe. Is there a team right now, Ed, going into the playoffs that you don't want to match up with? We can say that now because
he's going to the playoffs. Yeah. Well, the team I don't know if I really want to see right now, the Tigers, because timing to me is everything. I mean, they've won 12 out of the last 15 games.
And you're 2-4 against them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're certainly not the best team in the postseason, the American League, but I don't know. Timing's everything.
They're hot. It's just based on them being hot.
They're very hot.
I get it. They're hot. You know what I mean? And that's the team. It's always the team that goes into the postseason that's hot that seems like they stay hot. The Diamondbacks, the Phillies.
But they still have to get in, though. Like, the Tigers. Like,
yeah, they do.
They've got a chance if some of these other teams falter along the way, but they hold their own destiny, you know, if they're able to win every game they're in. The thing I would say to your question is, like, I don't fear any of these teams in the American League.
I don't fear either.
Because, like, I don't care who you face. The one team that I still think is a little nerve-wracking, and it doesn't even have to do with their hitting lineup, it's their pitching, is the Houston Astros, because two of their top-end pitchers are left-handed, and they're big lefty strikeout guys. Framber Valdez added a cutter a couple years ago. He pitched yesterday, got the win. And then you're watching Yusei Kikuchi. Thank you. That guy's just been off the charts ridiculous since getting there. It's almost like he's been rejuvenated, striking out guys, going deeper into games. So then you add in Hunter Brown, and you're like, we ain't got room for you, Justin. Verlander, keep your ass on the side. I mean, that's how talented they are in their pitching rotation.
We saw Charlie Blackmon hang it up. Do you think Verlander hangs it up after this year? Or does he have another one in him?
I don't think... Knowing the type of competitor he is, I don't think he liked the way this season finished. But there's no guarantees that you come back and all of a sudden,
better.
Yeah, you know, like I watched that. We talked about that Greg Maddux special, and when he was at the end of his career, he said, "Yeah, he knew he was doing the farewell tour, and you know, goes out to the Padres and pitches for them a little bit, and it's not the same." He's like, "Man, I was terrible. Guys were, and like he was terrible with like a 4-run ERA or something, you know." I think a lot of these guys will hang on for a little bit and try to make something happen. But the pitchers, you're seeing them hit the wall.
He'll be 42 years old next year. $35 million vesting option becomes a player option with 140 innings pitched this year. And if you look at, sorry about that noise you heard in the back, that was in the bottom of my chair. Right now he only has 84 innings pitched. So he does not have that freedom right now at all. So
yeah,
he would have become a free. It's not a player option now. It's a vesting option. So do you want to keep him around for $35 million? 42-year-old Justin Verlander, Ed.
Do I want to have
$35 million? If you're making that decision, 42-year-old Verlander, been injured the last two seasons. If you keep him, a vesting option is $35 million.
I'd say no.
Hey, what did
I just think he's at the end right now.
What did our guy's dad say to Debo after he asked him if you want some pop?
No.
That's the answer right there. That's the one. Pops is tripping, man. He wants the beach cruiser back.
By the way, you know he's made over $400 million.
Is he really?
$404,181,666.
Isn't it weird, though, to see somebody? Like, he was so dominant. And when you watch him now, he just looks... average.
Like he married someone to go home to.
Yeah.
He'd be all right. Going home to Kate.
Send us another picture.
Yeah. Go home, man. We're doing shovels at 6:45. Don't go anywhere because you might have a shovel if you're stuck in traffic. But on the other side, you've heard this before. The Birds beat the Yankees. You heard this before just last year. They're going to the playoffs. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
Been a tough few months, you know, and it's been... I'm just so proud of our guys that continue to fight. Some guys back. You know, I feel good about our team. Played really well tonight.
They did. And the Orioles continue their ownership of the American League East, now 31-19 on the year against the East. The Orioles and in the National League, the Brewers have the best records against their division of anybody in all of baseball, both 31-19 against their own division. And that's what's kept the Orioles in it, to be honest with you. That's a big contributing factor to them sealing the deal last night and winning the East against the number one team in the American League East, right now the number one team in the American League, in the New York Yankees. And it's like Brandon Haas said, Ed, they're getting guys back now.
Yeah, and wasn't it kind of cool when you saw them all come back? Like, all of a sudden, you see Westberg. Urias is back. Mountcastle's back. It's like, whoa! It's like you just picked up three good free agents.
Let's not forget Cologne. Danny Cologne, Cologne's who kind of brings, he right. puts the bullpen right. back in order.
Well, the other part of this, too, is like, part of me was wondering, like, are they kind of rushing some of these guys back just to get them? And the answer,
they held them out just to keep them for the playoffs.
I think the answer is no, because they would have rushed Grayson back if they had to, you know? So yeah. He's the only one that it sounds like is going to take a little bit of time.
I think I'm in agreement with Ed on the sense of, I think they had enough confidence in what they were doing to do the opposite, Jeremy. I think they really... If they were rushing these guys back, they probably would have been back a week later. Ryan Mountcastle would have came up the same time the other two guys came up. But I think the fact that they just wanted them to have those three games in the minors to see what they were doing. I saw Jordan Westberg work his ass off every day. Every day. I didn't see Mountcastle as much during the rehab time. But I saw Westberg. I saw Urias go from on a crutch to limping to... It looked like he never hurt his ankle, and he healed quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quick healer for a high ankle sprain to be back 100%. You normally don't heal that quickly for a high ankle sprain. I know you played basketball; yeah. You probably had a couple of those things.
I had pretty strong ankles. That was the only thing that I've ever had that was
yeah cankles.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't had cankles. I just like I wore low tops, and I'd roll over my ankle and just keep playing. Like I just never had issues with it, but. The high ankle sprain, it just takes too long to recover.
It's like a break.
Yeah, you can't move, like you can't plant, push off.
There's, I mean, they are tears.
Yeah.
They're just the most minor of the tears, just but they're tears.
I mean, it depends what you want, the ripping or the tearing. I mean, the tearing will get you every time, but the ripping will get you too. Oh, ripping and the tearing, baby.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what that's from? I got to show you the video.
They clench. It's kind of like, Ed, you know... Last year when they clinched, it was joy in Mudville. This year when they clinched, it's like, okay, now what are they going to do in the playoffs? Like the excitement of clinching this year feels like with the fans is not what it was last year.
Well, you're 100% right. Because at the beginning of the season, it was like people were just waiting for, you know, them to clinch the division title, like, you know, early September. And that didn't happen. So I think the expectations are much different. First, it was, you know, either going to win this division, or are we going to get a bye? Do we want it? Now it's like, just happy they're in, and let's see what they do.
You know, you actually had people criticize them, Jeremy, last night for celebrating a clinch, especially the playoffs.
I don't care if you back in. I don't care if you win. Because, like, it all adds up. I mean, you have a magic number that goes down when other teams lose, and it goes up goes down when you win. You know, like, both things can be true. So why wouldn't they celebrate last night?
But also, I don't want to become like, they didn't even win a playoff series last year. Where do we get this entitlement from? You know what I mean? They didn't win a game in the postseason last year. What does the entitlement come from? Like, well, they're supposed to make the postseason. Who's supposed to make the postseason? You know what I mean? I don't get the entitlement. You enjoy the ride. You go along with the ride. You're in the playoffs again for the second consecutive year. When is the last time the Orioles have been in the playoffs in consecutive years? Last time.
96-97. Yeah.
It's been that long.
Wow.
Because during that great stretch they had in the middle of this, beginning in 12, they never went back-to-back. Yeah. They went 12, not 13. Went 14, not 15. They went 16, haven't been back since last year. So back-to-back playoffs for the first time since 1996 and 97.
It's almost 30 years. Jeez,
yes. Man. But yet this sense of entitlement, like, they're not supposed to celebrate for being in.
We got a
back to back year.
Ricky Bobby's. If you ain't first, you last. Get it done. I don't get that either, because like you strive for this, and I don't know if you felt the same way I did. When we had the losing seasons, I just said, I want competitive baseball in September and October. I want to make business decisions on whether I'm watching baseball or football, or if I'm lucky enough to put them both on at the same time. It's nice to have that. It's a great thing to talk about. We even said getting into August, how much were we talking about baseball instead of football until they started to struggle?
You know what I said? I said what's happened to me the last 3 years. I want to get to the point where I'm like, tomorrow's training camp. If that's what I've said for the last three seasons. Yeah. It started in 22. Because remember, down the stretch, they were relevant. They were relevant. So I'm like, man, tomorrow's training camp? And it happened in 23, and it happened again this year. I want to get to the point where I lose track of when training camp starts. And they gave me that for the past 3 years. And once again, for the second consecutive year, they're in the postseason. And I have no reason to believe that they can't keep this moving, keep this running, Ed.
Do you think the age has something to do with it?
What do you mean?
Of the players. Going back to like a sense of entitlement, like this is going to be forever, or it's going to be for a long time.
You mean for the fans? Because the players are so young?
Because you mentioned a sense of entitlement and how people feel going in and celebrating a playoff.
Why is the entitlement with the Ravens?
Because they're good every year.
But still, they've won a Super Bowl since 12.
No, they haven't.
So there shouldn't be entitlement for a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in over a decade.
Yeah.
Who hadn't been to a Super Bowl in over a decade. I just think I can't say it's our fan base because I don't do radio for other fan bases, but I do know it may not be just our fan base, but it's definitely our fan base.
I'd say this too, and we all know this with, I'm not going to go Spider-Man here with you, but like with winning, there becomes more expectations. I mean, we say it all the time, only one team's going to win the Super Bowl, the World Series, whatever. But when it comes down to it, you're like I've said, you've got to lose before you can win. They lost last year. Let's see what they do this year. Mm-hmm. But again, there's those building blocks. And at some point you go, and with the Ravens, people are saying, man, it's Super Bowl or bust. Well, is it?
Because they go to the playoffs every year, pretty much.
Yeah.
The expectation. I think with the Orioles, it's like they've done nothing really. I mean, last year was great, and now this year they're good again. I just, because they're so young and there's so much obvious young talent that I think people assume that they're going to be really good for like the next 5 years at least. I think that's where some of the, hate to call it entitlement, but expectations come from.
Well, I think you have to enjoy this ride because if Corbin Burns has figured it out, I don't think he's back next year. Enjoy this.
Yeah, I'm looking at all those things. Yeah. You know, are they going to be able to afford Anthony Santander? Is Anthony Santander's replacement as good as Anthony Santander? You know what I mean, so that's why I don't have the entitlement, or I am going to enjoy the ride because I don't know what next year brings me. I don't. In baseball, you don't know who's going. Someone may fall off.
Let me ask you: if they go on and win the World Series, or if they get bounced in the first round and look lifeless, okay, is there one or the other that you think supports them bringing Santander back more? You
World get what Series. I'm
saying? If you win the World Series, like we can't
win in the World Series. Win in the World Series because you got to think about this. Winning the World Series, Ed, you know the revenue of this team goes up exponentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're going to kind of like, in anticipation of what we're going to bring in, cha-ching, I think we can sign Anthony Santander. Early bounced out, you don't know whether people are going to like, man, I'm tired of this. So I think winning the World Series kind of supports Santander coming back.
I hope so, honestly, because you look at this, because what people like to do, and they did it with Nelson Cruz when he was here, he's not going to do that again. Why not? Mm-hmm. And he did. And why? Why would you think that?
He might not hit 40 home runs again, Ed, but he's going to be a perennial home run hitter.
He's going to hit home runs. Yeah. I mean, he just hit his 44th last night. I mean, why would you think? He's going to go up from 44 to 10?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
If he goes from 44 to 35, so
right.
What?
That's right.
There's still 35 home runs. We're talking Ravens at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed talked about it. That lineup looked real good last night, but do they have enough at-bats to get back to the level of productivity for the playoffs? We'll talk about that up next on The Fan. Bleeding off the shortstop, Gunnar Henderson. Batting second, the catcher, Adley Rutschman. Batting third, the right fielder, Anthony Santander. Fourth, and in left field, Colton Cowser. Fifth, at second base, Jordan Westberg. Followed by the first baseman, Ron O'Hearn. DH, Solid J. At third base, Ramon Urias. And in center field, Cedric Mullins. This lineup was so good last night, they brought Ryan Mountcastle off the bench, and he, too, had a hit. That position, the sixth spot, went 3-for-4. 2-for-2 by O'Hearn, 1-for-2 by Ryan Mountcastle. That's how good the lineup was. You took a guy out who was 2-for-2 with an RBI and you still get a hit out of a guy who just came off of the injured list. It's starting to get back to full strength, Ed.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I don't know how you felt. I have a feeling it's the same as I did. When I saw all these guys back, I was like, yes! It's like, we're back. It's like, 'cause that was...
Mortimer, we're back.
Well, I think maybe out of the group is Westbrook I missed the most.
I just love why, like the line drives, grinding out at bats.
Yeah,
they needed that. They needed a right hand. I mean, the thing that I love is all three of the guys that came back are right handed bats, and mm-hmm. they've been struggling against left handed pitching, which does make me wonder with O'Hearn and Kierstead as DHs mm-hmm. for the most part, how you stack in your lineup when you face a righty. Which one of those guys is possibly sitting out?
No. Just that.
Think so?
Yes.
I'm just saying, because O'Hearn hasn't been hitting down the stretch here.
I understand, but you're going to take some at-bats away from him in general. But if, neither one of them are playing. I mean, you want the answer to that? The answer to that, Adley Rutschman won't be catching. He'll be DHing.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think he's got a catch in the postseason.
You said if they're going up against lefties?
Yeah.
No,
I'm saying in the postseason.
I think
it's against right-handed bats or right-handed pitchers, you're going to have to decide which one of those guys.
Against righties, you say?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were saying against lefties.
No.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Because, like, both of those guys are your DH, and the reason you see both of them in the same lineup is because Mountcastle wasn't ready. When Mountcastle is ready, if he is fully ready, one of those guys got to sit, and Mountcastle got to be at first base. Right?
I think Mountcastle didn't start yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, it was because of the time he got to the ballpark.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
But there's no question that you're putting Mountcastle at first base if he's healthy, right? He's 100% healthy.
Yeah.
No question. Because, like, O'Hearn had a nice play down, like, on the line there yesterday. But, again, I don't know that's the guy that you want bringing a glove in.
Mountcastle's a good first baseman.
Yeah.
You know, and you say you miss Westberg the most, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And I probably the lineup probably missed him the most.
I miss Mountcastle.
But I miss Mountcastle.
I said
most
it before him, Steve.
Because not only would he do, Mountcastle, I believe, has become a better hitter than he used to be, number one. But I think what Mountcastle does defensively,
yeah,
people only see Mountcastle for scooping and saving throws. Look at the balls that he gets to that are hit his way.
Yes.
For that reason, I think Mountcastle, Ed, makes the whole defense better, the whole infield defense better.
I agree. I think he's become a really good first baseman.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, first baseman, like offensive linemen, it's like you don't hear their name unless they miss a ball or something gets by them.
Or they hit 50 bombs.
Like that. Yeah.
You got to have the power at first base because if you're not hitting, it's the same. They used to say it about the corner infield spots. If you're not bringing power there, I can't use you.
Corner infield and corner outfield.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the middle of the field. About defense, catcher, shortstop, second base, center field. It was about defense. The corners, that's where your offense comes from. Nowadays, don't matter. Everybody can hit.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk. Sorry. But look, I want to
say they got something to say?
Yeah. It's gibberish. They're moving their lips and all this other. Hey, Aaron Judge, though, like last night watching him, hits that bomb when it's 2-0.
Yeah.
I just want to say this before the playoffs start. He's having one of the most amazing seasons, and his season is actually better than Ohtani's.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's playing defense as well.
He's batting 323.
As a power hitter with that many home runs, like we haven't seen anything like this since Bonds. And I just want to acknowledge it now because I'm going to be crapping all over that guy when we get the chance and talking trash about him in the postseason.
Did you have a problem with them pitching to him then with a 2-0 lead?
No. I'm not... It's a regular season game. In the postseason, I may have said, hey, man, which puts his ass on base.
I thought they played it perfectly last night. 2-0, nobody on, you pitched to him.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up the bomb. He came up later, and they didn't pitch to him. I had no problem with that because now, you know, 2-0, that early in the game, we're good. But later on, they pitched around him because Wells was coming up lefty on lefty.
Well,
so I thought the strategy was perfect.
The other part of this, too, is what I would say. As I said, we haven't seen anything like this since Bonds. We still haven't seen anything like Bonds, or at least in my lifetime.
No.
Those couple years he had, like even talking about Aaron Judge and comparing him to him, I think you might be doing a disservice to Bonds season by comparing him, but it deserves to be compared because he's been locked in for a long time here. And you got to remember that one year, not even the year that Bonds hit 73 bombs or whatever the hell it was, The year that he hit 44 or 45, look at how many times he was walked and how many times he was intentionally walked. Yep. He had so many like less opportunities to get it done, and he got it done.
He was intentionally walked that year 120 times.
What the hell?
So last night I was someplace, and they had trivia. And they said, who is baseball's all-time leader with intentional walks 688? I wasn't playing trivia. I just went there to get something to eat. And everybody's looking at me. I said, listen, I'm not telling you the answer. But you're overthinking this. If you don't know who leads, who has the all-time lead in intentional walks in baseball, you are overthinking it. And somebody's like, oh, all right. Did he ever get walked with the bases loaded? I said, if you get walked with the bases loaded intentionally, you're probably going to lead the all-time baseball in intentional walks.
Yes.
Because Buck Showalter said, walk that man with the bases loaded. The next guy got out, didn't he? One of the guys, Jeff Kent.
Yep,
he got Jeff out. Kent got out.
Buck Showalter.
Yeah, Buck Showalter. He said, walk that man. I ain't mad at you, Buck.
I don't like that guy.
I ain't mad at you, Buck. Smart. That was, you know, I think you would have been complete if you'd have put Zach Britton in the game. I'm over that.
You're not.
I'm over that.
I'm still not.
Commissioners Baltimore at 7:30. Ravens at 7. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to the folks in Oklahoma right now. Something we're talking about off air.
You saw this.
Yeah, I've been just reading about it and stuff. It's got to do with the death penalty and what's going on this week around the country. Just a lot going on.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text. 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan, Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
The state of Oklahoma, I think. This is a very complicated one. This guy named Little John. You know, Robin Hood's Little John, I guess.
Man, we don't get no toes, then we don't eat no rolls. Sorry.
He's on death row. He's been on death row for 30 years in Oklahoma. And he's slated to be executed tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It was from a convenience store robbery in 1992. He claims his partner pulled the trigger and killed the guy. Doesn't seem to me, it doesn't matter, because the way it goes, if you two people go to rob a store, one person kills somebody, you're both guilty of murder in the commission of a felony. So that's the way the cookie crumbles. My problem is, it's funny, we're talking off air. I don't think people realize how much is going on. It was Jeremy said, we haven't executed anybody in a while. No, there's been five this week. Yeah, there's a couple in South Carolina, Texas, here. This is Oklahoma. So that's a lot in a week. My problem with it is, and I've never really been a big proponent because of cases like this where they're saying there's mitigating circumstances. If there's any question that there's any doubt, I think you have to just delay it. He's been waiting 30 years. What's another year or two? Why can't you just see, you know, let the evidence play itself out? Because I don't like when prosecutors withhold stuff, and they do it routinely. And look, I'm sorry to say it. I have a lot of friends with prosecutors. We saw it with Mike Nifong, the Duke Lacrosse case. He had the April 10th, the evidence comes back. None of the DNA was on that woman from those kids. And April 17th, he goes ahead and indicts these kids, knowing that it's wrong and for a rape. Anyway.
It's one of the most egregious things.
Oh.
Trying to put somebody behind bars or get them in trouble for something they didn't even do.
Ruin their lives. I mean, it's ruining their lives. It's for your own advancement. Sounds like the guy in my case. But there's also a problem with Oklahoma has a history of botching these things. In 2014, they were supposed to execute Clayton Lockett. After 51 minutes, they tried to set an intravenous line in him. Then they misplaced the line in his groin, injected the drugs in the surrounding tissue. He's writhing on the gurney in a pool of blood. The execution's called off. He dies 43 minutes later anyway.
Ugh.
So, I mean, this is what's not supposed to happen. And this is my fear with this stuff. It's a very complicated subject. I don't really think it deters anybody. And unfortunately, we execute too many innocent people. So, I mean, and states like Texas just, my bad. That's they just shrugged their shoulders. Yeah, well, he probably did something. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, I'm going to switch this up. I'm going to go with Dan Helly. You guys know who Dan Helly is. He works for Fox. He's a sportscaster. He talks about, like, on his Twitter page, it says sportscaster, Fox, and UFC, NBC Washington, and the Helipod, a DMV native. He wrote, and I quote, "Lamar Jackson is a poor man's Jaden Daniels during Monday Night Football."
It's just so stupid.
Shut up. What an asshat you are, Dan Helly. Like, and I'm not even talking about the fact, like, the fact that you're going to look at a guy that they look comparable as far as the style of play, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? Like, there were a lot of people saying, hey, he could be. And in 5 years, if he becomes this great player and you want to say
Lamar Jackson. If he wins the MVP twice, I'll talk.
Yeah. Yeah, let me
He's
know.
A black quarterback that can run. His yeah. style is nothing like Lamar Jackson's, in my opinion. Nothing like Lamar Jackson.
But it's
he's not running between the tackles.
Yeah.
He's not doing any of those things. He's running around the side. He's scrambling when it's time for the throw. But he is not his style. His play style is not like Lamar Jackson.
But I don't even care if this was Pat Mahomes, mm-hmm. if this was Josh. How dare you,
yeah,
sir? How dare you, sir? I want to write a finely written letter right to your bosses over at Fox. I almost feel like this is a Fox thing with FS1 and these cats. It's like, hey, say something that's controversial, and then we'll just get all the engagement on social media. Because he doesn't respond back to anybody. He's been trashed by everyone for this statement. And I'm looking at it. There's been 330 responses to it. Almost 800 retweets. Like, people have to be subtweeting it saying, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And to do that, it's just so disrespectful to Lamar to bring a rookie in his third game when he finally had his first good game. It was his first good game.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't thrown a touchdown pass until Monday night. And now he's... Lamar Jackson's a poor man's Jaden Daniels. Get the hell out of here, you goofball.
That's an outrageous thing to say.
Stupid. Ron O'Hearn, set up my shovel, please.
I just think that just shows that Twitter is not a reflection of how people actually feel, maybe.
Can we say that one more time, please, into the camera?
I deleted Twitter 2 months ago. No, I just haven't been on it. But, you know, we believe in ourselves, and we have a really good group of guys. And, you know, it's a long season. Excuse my language, but shit happens. And, you know, guys get hurt. Guys slump. It's part of it. But, you know, we got 5 games left. We're in the postseason. Anything can happen when the postseason starts. It's all about that momentum. We have a really good group of guys, talented group of guys that are hungry. We want to win.
All you folks on Twitter, Brandon Hyde lost the clubhouse. A player in the clubhouse finally with an opportunity to speak on it tells you, you don't know what you're talking about. Kevin Brown, who's in the clubhouse, asked him to say it again. Those of us who are in the clubhouse try to tell you you're wrong. The mm-hmm. people who wrote that, who are in the media, show up at the clubhouse maybe once or twice a month. Like the people who wrote, oh, the Orioles might not make the postseason a month ago. They show up maybe twice a month. Maybe twice a month. But you ignored all the people who are in there regularly who told you that was nonsense because crap happens. Brandon Hyde can't walk through the clubhouse without being stopped by a player or him stopping to talk a player. It's the most ridiculous thing that I've heard because they're losing the man lost the clubhouse.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous thing I've heard.
Robbie?
Do teams make changes at managers and head coaches to make changes because they feel it's best? Yes, but it's not always because they lost the clubhouse. The man didn't lose the clubhouse. He didn't.
I think you called it best when it first came out. It's clickbait.
Yes.
That's all it was.
That's all it is.
Like even the article that talked about the Orioles not making the postseason, and granted, it's happening later than you want. Do you guys realize all the things that had to happen? They had to lose every game and have these other teams win
every game.
I mean, come on. Like, look at it.
When it comes to managers, and Joe and I were talking about this, managers and head coaches, you have a manager and a head coach who have their clubhouse and locker room like none other. You all know I don't care for John Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh has his locker room. He has his finger on the pulse of his locker room. Brandon Hyde has the finger on the pulse of his clubhouse. No one is more in tune with their clubhouse and locker room like the guys at the top here in Baltimore. No one. So if they lose, it's not because they lost the players. It may be other things, but it's not because they lost the players. Mm. Ethan in Pennsylvania, what's your shovel?
My shovel goes to Bengals defensive back, Cam Taylor-Britt.
That's a good one.
In the year 2024, with all the social media, you just have so little to gain by giving poster board material to another professional sports team. But it makes no sense, and he got what they deserved with Jaden Daniels balling out on them.
There you go. Thanks a lot, my friend. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissioners Baltimore at 7:30. We got a barbershop topic of the day at 8 o'clock that kind of stirs the, puts a little more log in the fire. Also, what some of the fans are thinking. But on the other side, Ravens lead in a lot of penalty-related categories. Is that maybe one of the top issues for the Baltimore Ravens so far, that 1-2 start? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.